Emmett Cohen is one of the most exciting young pianists in jazz. He's a multifaceted instrumentalist and composer, and is in the vanguard of his generation's advancement of music. A recognized prodigy, Cohen began the Suzuki method of piano instruction at age 3, and his playing quickly became a mature melding of musicality, technique, and concept. He leads the Emmett Cohen Trio and is in constant demand as a sideman. In 2019, he was featured on over a half a dozen albums, including his own CD, Dirty in Detroit, which was recorded in 2018 at the Dirty Dog Jazz Cafe in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. His most significant recordings so far are the Masters Legacy Series albums in collaboration with some of the greatest living masters of jazz, including with bassist Ron Carter, drummer Jimmy Cobb, and the most recent additions with tenor saxophone giants Benny Golson and George Coleman. Emmett Cohen is bringing Benny Golson to Grand Rapids this Thursday for a performance at St. Cecilia's Music Center at 7:30 p.m. Here's Bremond's Blues by the Emmett Cohen Trio. I spoke by phone with Emmett Cohen and first asked him about the significance of Benny Golson in the history of jazz.
He's one of the foremost innovators post Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins on the tenor saxophone. Benny Golson is one of the most consistent and long-lasting jazz musicians of all time. I don't think many musicians make it into their 90s and are able to produce at tour and travel at that rate. It's pretty amazing. And I hang out with a legendary pianist named Johnny O'Neill, and he always says, "Emmett, you know, the best jazz musicians are the most consistent jazz musicians." And Benny Golson has been so consistent for the past 70 years almost. He comes from Philadelphia. He grew up playing with John Coltrane in their mother's house. They both had their alto saxophones trying to imitate Johnny Hodges. And then from there, he moved to New York and became one of the premier voices on the saxophone in the style of Coleman Hawkins, I would say, but then innovated his own style. And the last thing I should mention is that he is one of the great jazz composers in the history of the music. And he's written more songs that have taken flight and been accepted by all the jazz musicians than possibly anyone else. He was right up there with Theda Walton and Har Silver and some of the other great jazz composers of that era, of the post-Bach era, and was part of a lot of bands and part of a lot of unique situations. And I'm so fortunate that he wanted to record with me. And we just put out a record a couple of days ago, and that's entitled Master's Legacy Series Volume 3 with Tutti Heath and Benny Golson. And it's amazing because the two of them are from Philadelphia, so there was a reunion of sorts for them as well to come together and play. And Russell Hall and I, young bassist in New York City, we collaborate all the time. So to bring our collaboration with their collaboration was a really incredible moment in time, and I'm glad we were able to capture it and preserve it forever.
Well, and this is Volume 3 of the Masters Legacy series. Tell us how the series began.
The series began, I guess I moved to New York, and I've had some experiences in New York around the Jazz Masters. There's one New Year's Eve where I was playing with the Dizzy Gillespie alumni big band, and Jimmy Heath was playing for his tenor saxophone. And I got to listen to him tell stories all the way down bus ride to D.C. at the Kennedy Center about Charlie Parker coming over his parents' house for dinner and hanging out with John Coltrane back in Philly. And I said, wow, this is more educational than most jazz classes at school or, you know, most books that I've read or anything like that. You know, you really get the feeling when you talk to someone. That's what the music is about. It's about that human connection. And, you know, connecting with him, connecting with people like Billy Hart, who I grew up down the street from. He would have me come over and fix his computer for him. And then we'd be listening to Ahmad Jamal videos for hours. And he would show me all these things and what to listen for and some of his experiences. And so I got that from a few angles and realized how important it was to be around the people who either created this music or were around the people who created the music. And, you know, being around people like Ron Carter and Tootie Heath and Buster Williams and Houston Person and George Coleman, you know, they each have their own story. They each have their own journey. And to take a part of that journey and understand it has really enriched the way I feel the music, think about the music, hear the music, and present the music. And we'll be presenting the music in Grand Rapids just next week with Benny Golson.
Well, this last year was a great year for you in terms of on the radio. We had music, your own trio, Dirty in Detroit, but you were also on Veronica Swift's album, Perpetual Optimism, Herlin Riley, the Troy Roberts album, Days Like These, A Love Lane Nocturne, all as a sideman. And then you recorded, obviously, with Benny and Tootie and also George Coleman. So talk about 2019.
Wow, yeah, 2019 was incredible. I actually recorded some of those records with Benny Golson and Tootie Heath in 2017, I believe, and then finished it up in 2018. So, you know, some of these things take longer than 1 year to think through and to record and to edit and to live and breathe with. So, you know, a lot of these things were a year in the making. But those all those other records I think I made in 2019, and it's crazy for you to tell me that because I obviously know all them. But you know, when you're moving so fast day to day, you forget all the recordings you're on and all the you know, all the time you spent putting into people's music. And there were a lot of releases in 2019, and all different and all unique in their own way, and all requiring a different skill set. You know, it's a very different approach I'll take to accompanying Veronica Swift, one of the great singers of our time, who I'm fortunate to get to play with a lot. And then, you know, turning around and trying to play organ with Jeff Tane Watts on drums and Troy Roberts on saxophone. You know, I try to be in the moment as much as possible and serve that musical moment, play with the people I'm playing with. And make everyone sound as best as possible. So that's my approach to any recording session. And then I take it, another step to make it as personal as possible.
And I noticed that you also performed in New York in December with singer Mary Stallings, who had another significant release out last year that we played a lot here on the radio. How was that?
Oh, Mary is the direct connection for me to Carmen McRae. And also she phrases like Billie Holiday and just has that that connection to the jazz diva of an era bygone. I don't know anyone else that's doing it like she's doing it. I've never played with anyone that could authentically sing a ballad that slow and that sexy and that romantically. She is really one of a kind, and I've become such a better musician from playing with her. And she just brings so much joy to the music, too, and people really appreciate her and connect with her voice and her story.
And my final question, you won the Cole Porter Fellowship last year. What was that experience like?
Wow, that was an incredible experience. You know, it was a competition. So competitions sometimes in my mind are contradictory to what music is supposed to be about. But then when I think of, you know, which is communion and putting positivity and it was mostly that stuff. But to play under pressure and know that people are judging you for your notes and your rhythms and your artistry, that can be a tough thing. And so I'm quite, I guess, experienced when it comes to competition. So for me, I went into that, you know, just shoving all of that out of my mind and just going in there and playing, being true to myself, playing with joy, connecting with the other musicians, with the rhythm sections. We accompanied Kurt Elling for a tune as part of the competition. And I just tried to be in the musical moment I was in. And you know, I was fortunate enough to come to win the first prize, and it came with a lot of nice things, including a record deal with Mack Avenue. So I'll be going to the studio later this month and recording my debut record with Mack Avenue, which will probably be seen in the world sometime this fall. So there's no rest in terms of recording and all that. But I'm very grateful to the American Pianist Association in Indianapolis for the gift of that that contract and for the competition, and huge respect to all the other musicians who are in that: Billy Test, Keelan Dimmick, Kenny Banks Jr., and David Meter. You know, some of the most incredible pianists that all have their own unique and original concepts. So, you know, it's constantly growing, constantly learning. And just making sure I have time to absorb it and soak it in and reflect as well. That's my resolution for 2020, to reflect.
Well, thank you, Emmett, for talking to us. And I want to thank you very much for bringing Benny Golson to Grand Rapids.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to connect with the people. The last time I was there was with Christian McBride a couple years ago. And it was so warm and so well received that I'm just really excited to have the chance to bring Mr. Golson, to play with him, to connect with the community of Grand Rapids. It's a wonderful place.
Emmett Cohen, the pianist, is performing this Thursday at St. Cecilia Music Center in Grand Rapids at 7:30 p.m. with the legendary Benny Golson. Here's Benny Golson's classic tune, Whisper Not, that Benny recorded in 1958 with Milt Jackson on vibraphone. Midday, I'm Scott Vandewerf.